Most of you know, I think, that I've been the pastor here at Calvary for not quite 7 years, closing in on that pretty soon. And when I came, I was so grateful that we had Andy and Carrie working with the young people at our church. I mean, they were just passionate about pouring themselves into their lives and you know, not only doing regular youth ministry, but really caring for the kids like Bracey does for us now. As I shared with our early service this morning, I was actually a little bit brokenhearted when they announced that they were responding to God's call to go on mission and to go overseas to Chad and to serve the Lord there in medical ministry. And yet, I was also thrilled to death that not only were they willing to say yes to God speaking into their life in that way, but that because of their going, we as a church family were going to have a real direct connection with the ministry of Christ that's taking place all around the world. I think we know that there are missionaries, and of course we know that as good Baptists, we support a bunch of them, through offerings and things like that. But it's one thing to, know that there are missionaries out there, and it's another thing to know that there are friends who are, giving their lives and giving their gifts in order to serve the things that God is doing in another community. And so it's been, I think, our privilege and our benefit to be able to support Andy and Carrie over these past years. And I know that many of you, keep in touch with them through their prayer letters and email and things like that. And I am so grateful that they are back in the States for one of their at-home times, and that during their visit, they have had a chance to come and be with us so that we could hear from them a little bit about their ministry. And so, Andy and Carrie, we are so grateful for you and so thankful that you would be with us today, and we're glad that we have a chance to hear you this morning. So come on up and share with us.
Good morning, church. How you doing? ¿Cómo se va? Thank you, Pastor, for the warm welcome, and thank you, church, for the warm welcome. We are really honored and grateful and pleased to be here. We bring you greetings from our church in Chad. Pastor Auguste and the elder board and the church greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's very important. They wanted to be here with us to greet you personally, but they sent us in their place, and they greet you. You are greeted in love by our friends back in Chad. Your pastor is really wonderful. Our pastor, he has the gift of kind words. Do you agree? So we were part of the team, the youth ministry here, and that was a real joy for us. It was definitely a team effort. I've had a long life journey, but part of our journey was to be here in Mount Airy for 5 years. We were here from 2006 to 2011. I'm a pediatrician. I worked at Northern Hospital. We were very blessed to be part of this church family for those 5 years and to help with the youth ministry. But we're a little sad that when we left, we had to leave the ministry of Pastor Alex behind and not have him there in Chad with us. But it's great for us to be back and to be part of the church family. Thank you very much for having us and giving us the microphone, your microphone, for 30 minutes. So I'm a PK. I'm a preacher's kid. I know how difficult the life of a pastor is. So definitely pray for him and encourage him, because it's not easy. But I also know how difficult it is to give up the microphone for 30 minutes. So it's great to be here. We've had a, Carrie, you're being very patient with me. We've had a long life journey. I'm already off script, but... we've had a long life journey. I wanted to say something to the youth, because as a PK, I was in the church from way back, as long as I can remember, and I started hearing God's voice, maybe calling me to missions, when I was Tony's age. Tony in the front row there is our youngest. He's 11. So there might be some youth out there today who might be really... challenged and excited about the idea of this, the church being out there in the world. And there might be some older young people who maybe heard that kind of challenge back in the day, and maybe it got buried for a while, but maybe today you're going to hear God speaking to your heart again. We're all young at heart in the Lord, so we're excited to share our life journey. In college, I got kind of sidetracked by alcohol. Some of you may have struggled with alcohol, but God saved me out of a problem with alcohol in college. And then he brought me to Wisconsin, and then, Michigan, then Wisconsin, and then North Carolina. And then he took us from North Carolina to Chad. And we're going to share with you a little bit about that, that part of our journey today. I was really excited to sing your hymn, that last hymn, the servant song, because Jesus is the suffering servant. Sorry, see, I'm off script. But the first line is, if you remember, we are travelers on a journey, fellow pilgrims on the road, and we're here to help each other. So you may not be called to Chad, but you are definitely called to Mount Airy and to North Carolina, or maybe to Chad. So, or maybe to Belize, right? Are you excited for the youth going to Belize? Hopefully. And we are fellow travelers on the journey. So we want to encourage you this morning. That was our scripture, Galatians 9. Do not become weary. Maybe some of you are weary, but don't. Be encouraged today, and don't become weary in doing good, because at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. So if you were on the verge of giving up this morning, but you came to church anyway, don't give up. Okay, long preamble. So where is Chad? I had no idea where Chad was. Chad is in the Central Africa, in the middle of Africa. You can kind of, hopefully you can see that, but it's right in the middle of Africa. The top third of the country is Sahara Desert, so there are very few people. The middle third is where the capital is, and Lake Chad, and a lot of Arab peoples. And then the bottom third, which gets a little bit of green, if you can see it on the map, gets a little bit of rain, and that's where a lot of tribal peoples are. We're in the south of Chad. Chad is big. It's 1/8 of the United States, so that's how it compares to the rest of the states. But as I said, most people don't live in the northern third because it's Sahara Desert. So we wanted to greet you in the name of the church there. These are the leaders of the hospital. I'm a pediatrician by training, and I'm a physician volunteering in the church-run hospital in Bebelem, and this is the hospital staff. They greet you, all of them, and they're very grateful for all of the support that you've given. Calvary has been a big supporter with diabetes supplies. You have no idea. It is way too expensive to buy diabetes supplies there. Every person that we test, not every person, but over 1,000 people that we've tested have been thanks to your support. The hospital thanks you for your support. We wanted to talk a little bit using a framework from AIM. AIM is trying to build up character traits in believers, the missionaries, but also in the people that we're helping to serve. And we have five character traits that we're trying to encourage. The first one is service. This comes out of Matthew 20, 26 to 27. We will serve the Lord, each other, our sending and receiving churches, and the unreached for the sake of Jesus. This story is an incredible story of service. Bebelem is an isolated community in a rural area. The dirt road gets washed out very easily, and there was a mission in Europe that wanted to donate a container of supplies. The truck, the semi-truck bringing the container, got stuck in the sand, 3 kilometers from Bebelem. It was stuck. We could have hired a crane from the capital 10 hours away. That would have cost thousands of dollars. We could have hired a lot of men from the local village, but they would have asked for a lot of money. We were stuck, and we didn't have a lot of money as a hospital. The mission where we're at has 3 missions. Kind of coordinated. There's the hospital, there's a nursing school, and there's a seminary in the local Gumbai language. The seminary director told his students, we are Christians. We are called to be light, to shine our light. That was in the hymn too, that was awesome. To shine our light, so we're gonna go out, we're gonna dig that truck out, and we're gonna do it for free. So they did. They went out early in the morning, they were singing, they were praying, they were chanting, and they dug that semi-truck out and got it to the hospital. It took all day. The hospital gave him some sugar tea, which is hardly anything. And this is a picture, the top picture is them celebrating. They were all together celebrating. Their wives were there. They were dancing. This is what the Lord did through us. And I was so excited. I took a picture, and I framed it and sent it back to him. But that wasn't the end of the story. Then, a year later, another mission wanted to send 3 containers. And by now, the road was really bad. In the past, there's a lot of corruption in Chad. There's some corruption here, but there's corruption there too. In the past, the government had raised money, thousands of dollars, several times to fix the road, and it always disappeared into the pockets of some official. Well, we needed that road fixed, and it wasn't fixed. Those containers could not come. So because the seminary students had given that great example, Valentin, the hospital administrator, and the president of the Annex, which is about 40 churches, they got together and they started praying. And they said, hey, the Christians can do this. It was 60 kilometers. They called every church along the route to join us in a coup de coeur, a work of the heart. Let's dig out that road. Let's repair that road. We put down over 1,000 sandbags. We dug. Some of the shovels got stolen. The Christians were okay with that because we were doing it for Jesus. And that, so the bottom picture is the Christians fixing the road. And they fixed the road, and the containers arrived at the hospital. And it was amazing. New beds, new supplies. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. So then the rainy season came. Washed the road out again. The local government official called Valentin. And he said, Valentin, we, the government, we haven't been able to fix the road because of all the corruption. We need your help. You are a faithful man, and you did it. And Valentin said, I didn't do that. That was God that did it through the church. The church did it. But he called Valentin because Valentin was faithful. He was honest. He was a good man. That is the testimony that the hospital was giving through their acts of service. Not for money, not for anything else, but just because they were servants of Jesus Christ. That's just one story, but that was an exciting story for me. The next one is sacrifice. We will sacrifice for the Lord, his kingdom, his church, and his people. And that comes out of Philippians 2:17.
Right, so I get to share this story. When we think about sacrifice, one of the things we think about are our nursing students. Both Andy and I get to work with nursing students down there in Bethlehem, and this is a Christian nursing school. Sometimes people look at us as missionaries and say, oh, you sacrifice so much, that's so great, you're willing to give up your home in America and your water and your power and your television. But really, when we see what they are willing to sacrifice, again, it puts that in perspective. What are they sacrificing? Well, let's talk about that. The nurses who go to our nursing school have chosen to come to a Christian nursing school and get trained in nursing. This is something that can really help them in life. Anyone in Chad who has a nursing degree can get a work at a government hospital or for an NGO like UNICEF, and they can make a lot of money. This money then can help their family. They can send younger brothers or sisters to school, or their cousins, or they can help their second cousin get married. I mean, there's so many people in the family who could really benefit from that. So there's a lot of pressure for these nurses to get a job with money. But if they want to work for the church, it means sacrificing that, because the church can't afford to pay them a lot of money. But many of these nurses do decide to do just that. They decide to work for the church. And what that means is they might get sent out to a clinic in a really rural part of Chad, perhaps with an unreached people group, where they are going to be a light in a very dark place. They're going to live in tough situations. They're going to live with very little in terms of comfort, but they're going to do it because they know that they're serving God. And so we just are really encouraged by their stories. Some of the pictures that you see up above, I am standing with a young lady named Rosaline. She graduated from our Bible study and our program and is working in the capital amongst Chadian Arabs. It's an unreached people group, and she is being a light. The lower left corner is a young man. I don't know if you can see him in a blue suit, but his name is Tashik. And there are a lot of people in this picture because this is his family that have come to celebrate with him now that he's graduated. So these are the people that he's going to be saying goodbye to. And he did say goodbye to them. He left with his wife and young kids to go work in one of our clinics in Gilindang, and again, amongst an unreached people group. The upper picture is our students that are still in school. That's our Bible study group. It is a Christian school, and there are many Christians in the program, but our small group are those who have a real heart to do cross-cultural ministry. So it's the people who God is calling and working on them, saying, you're going to do something for me, and you need to be ready for that. So we try to spend time discipling them and encouraging them and really feeding into them, so when they go out to these clinics, they don't feel ill-prepared and they aren't frightened by that experience. And seeing our students going out and hearing their stories, well, that's really a blessing to us as well, to see with their sacrifice how God is using them.
The next one is suffering. And that comes out of 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13. And I got to be honest, shared with the first service, I don't necessarily embrace suffering all the time. This one's a challenge for me. Like I said, I mentioned we're on a faith journey, and so I just wanted to be upfront with you. I'm not one who embraces 100% suffering, but this is something that we're working on, and God is challenging me in it, and maybe you as well. 1 Peter 4, 12 to 13, we will embrace suffering for the Lord, his people, and the unreached as we boldly proclaim the gospel.
So we have another story to kind of bring this home, and this is yet another one of our students. Her name is Suzanne. She's on the left-hand side. She was one of our first graduates from our Bible study, and I actually met her back in 2010 when we did our two-month trip to Chad when we were here and we went for just a short visit. She was a high schooler then, and she's the one who took me to the market and helped me figure out kind of how to do some things in town, and she was a really neat person even back then. She has an amazing testimony. As a young girl, she was being tormented by spirits and visitations from spirits and was really living a frightened life. This is an animistic area of the world where people really do have beliefs about spirits, and that it's very active. So she was suffering from that. Luckily, she had an older sister who was a Christian who recognized what was happening and came and spent time praying over her. And through the power of Christ, that went away, and she was freed from that persecution. And she knew at that moment that Jesus was the one she wanted to follow. He had saved her from that, had rescued from her from that, and from that point on, she knew what her life was. And this is especially important in that her boyfriend at the time, the man she thought she was going to marry, was not a Christian. And so she ended up breaking up that relationship. That is a very unusual thing for a Chadian girl to do. Most, I say girls because a lot of the girls get married at age 15 or 16, and the majority of them are married by 18. And that's just what you do. You get married and have kids very quickly. But she chose to say, no, I am going to wait until God gives me a Christian man. So even to this day, she's single, but she has finished her program. And she has been placed with the church in a unreached people group in a clinic. And it was a new clinic, and she went out there and had to build relationships with people who were different from her, different language, different belief system, and an unreached people. So maybe even negative attitudes toward her. And that's what she found. There was a lot of mistrust. It was hard for her to get people to come into the clinic. And if you don't have people coming to the clinic, you're not making any income. So she was sleeping on the floor of her clinic. She didn't have a place to live. She was single. It was a real struggle. And she felt like there were people in the town who were kind of against her, sort of a persecution mentality. But she was faithful, and she stayed the course. And through some different events that happened, she was able to show the people that she could be trusted and that she was a woman of character. And over time, people started coming to her clinic, and she was able to really help some families. And now the clinic is doing well. She has enough money to live off of. And now she also has had some experiences where people have come and asked her, who is this Jesus? Tell me about him. So she's already become a witness and a light, and that's just in a few years. And we've just seen how, even though she's undergone a lot of suffering, God has really made her a light and a witness, and that's been a real encouragement to us.
The fourth character trait is seeking. From John 15:5, we will increasingly seek Jesus' presence in prayer in complete dependence on him for grace, guidance, strength, wisdom, and fruitfulness. So for me, the emphasis here really is on prayer. And I'm not a great prayer, and I thank all of you who are prayer warriors. That's an area where I definitely need improvement. But this idea, really, God has brought that home to me. Being over there has really challenged my faith and my commitment to daily prayer, daily Bible study. I have a friend. He's the administrator of the Hospital of Valentine. He's probably my best friend there. He's on my left, so to the right, the tall guy in the white blue shirt. He is a man who seeks the Lord in prayer, and he is my encouragement over there. At the hospital, we have daily devotions. We're in the Word every day. It's not always easy to go. But it's amazing. He is an amazing man to me, to encourage me in prayer. This photo sums up some of our prayer, our deepest, dearest prayer requests over the last 5 years. AIM does not want to run the hospital as an organization. We're a mission organization. We're there to encourage and build up what the Chadians are doing. Well, in order to run a hospital, you need several faithful men. You need a faithful administrator. You need a faithful surgeon. You need a faithful physician. In the past, those positions were filled by missionaries. But our hope, our desire, our prayer is that Chadians, God will raise up Chadians to do this work. It's not always easy. Valentine has been there for 10 years. He came in 2006. He's been trying since that time and praying. I joined the staff in 2012. And this is what we've been praying for. These are our answers to prayer. Carrie is the woman on the right, or your left, if you can recognize her. Next to her is Kemal. He's the assistant administrator. He also helps. He's on the board for the middle school, the Christian middle school in town. He's a good, godly man. The man next to him is Dr. Barry. He's a Chadian physician. He is an amazing answer to prayer. When we arrived in 2012, the leaders of the church there said, Andy, we're going to pray for more missionary doctors. And I said, that's fine. You pray for missionary doctors, but my prayer is for a Chadian doctor. We would love, AIM would love to see a Chadian doctor. So we were praying side by side. And Chadian doctors come, but it's hard to keep them in Bethlehem. It's a poor area in a poor country. They can make more money in the capital, or they can make more money in another country. And as Carrie mentioned, there is pressure. If you saw that picture with Tashik, there were 25 people at his nursing graduation. Imagine how many people depend on a physician to help them. There's a lot of pressure. There was a physician who came to Bethlehem years ago. He was there for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, he told Valentine, I need to go to the city for something. Valentine said, okay. He never came back. He disappeared. Valentine was telling me this story. He said, he disappeared. Years later, Valentine bumped into him. And he pulled him aside. He said, doctor, you disappeared. What? Do you mind me asking what happened? And the doctor told him, Valentine, it was too hard. There was too much pressure for my family, make more money somewhere else. There was too much pressure in the community, help us, help us, help us. It was too much. I couldn't handle it. 2 weeks. He disappeared. It is hard. There's a lot of pressure to make money, obviously, in a poor country. Dr. Barry had an offer from another NGO, like UNICEF, Carrie mentioned, World Health Organization. An NGO will pay at least 3 times the money to a physician to work with them. Dr. Barry got this offer before he joined our staff. And Valentine and I were in the office. We were thanking God for that, for the timing of that. We said, now he has to decide before he comes. If he comes, it's because he feels God's calling him here. He's already been tempted by the money, and he's already had to decide that. Well, he prayed about it, and he decided to come to Bethlehem for 1 year. He's a faithful man. He's a godly man. He's a Chadian. He's a physician. He's an answer to prayer. Valentin, obviously, is the man to my left there. And then on the far corner is Jibei. Jibei's a nurse, but he was sent for training, surgical training, and came back to Bethlehem. He's a good friend, too. He loves to play guitar. We play songs together. Right after he came back, the other surgeon left. So he's just been trained. He's back in Bethlehem. He's left all by himself at this hospital. We serve 150,000 people. We do over 200 surgeries a year. He's on call day and night, 24/7, and pregnant women needing C-sections come in the middle of the night. He is a godly man. He is an answer to prayer. Valentine's been praying. The staff at the hospital's been praying. We've been praying. You've been praying. These are some answers to prayer. Thank you for praying. Thank you for seeking the Lord's will in prayer. We appreciate it. Continue to pray. Continue to seek the Lord. Submission. This comes out of Ephesians 5:21. We will practice biblical authority and submission in reverence for Jesus.
Just very quickly, as missionaries, it can be very easy to decide what we think should happen. We have an idea as to what would solve Bethlehem's problems, right? And what the church should do if they want to do the best thing. But for some reason, they don't always do what we think they should do. You probably have experienced this too. we really do have to constantly submit our desires and our plans to God. And whenever we doubt and we look, what's going on, we remember, okay, God, we trust you, and we are submitting ourselves to your plan. There are some things happening right now in Bedlam that are very confusing to us. Just recently, the hospital administrator has been removed from the hospital and is no longer running it, and another person has been put in his place, and there is a lot of confusion and conflict. Excuse me, and we're not sure why, and there are a lot of questions, but again, we're coming back to this idea of submission. We're submitting ourselves not just to God's authority, but also to the church's authority in Chad, and that can be hard for our pride, but it's a good place to be because, I mean, who can do a better job than God? So that's what we're thinking about when it comes to submission.
AIM has a desire that the gospel is presented to all the unreached people groups. We want to contribute to that. In Chad, there are 140 different people groups. There are 70 that have no church. They don't have a Bible in their language. They're considered unreached people groups. We personally are not involved in going to the unreached people groups. Bedlam is a reached people group, the Gumbai people. They have, as I said, I may have said, 11 churches in our village. There's a seminary in our village. But we are desiring to train up and encourage the Chadians to go to those unreached people groups. That's the heart of why we're in the Bible study, sharing with the nursing students. This is the surgical team, and they have the opportunity to share with their people groups, with their own people. On the left is Jibe. Go to the next one. Oh, no, it's there. Stay there. It's hard to see, but the upper picture is Jibe preaching in a church. We had a woman come in, 3 days of labor and hemorrhaging. Her life was at risk. She was O negative. We tested her. She was O negative. We don't have a blood bank. We call on the nearest relatives. O negative is very hard. Anybody O negative? The Red Cross probably calls you all the time. Sometimes. We tested over 70 people before we found a donor for her. Meanwhile, she's dying. She lost the baby. She lost her uterus. They had to do a hysterectomy to save her life. She was 19. It's devastating. It's shameful to not have children in this culture. Now she's 19, she's got no uterus, she'll never have a kid. Jibe was heartbroken. He's the one who did the surgery. We saved her life. But Jibe was heartbroken. He said, Andy, we got to do something. Dr. Barry, we got to do something. He organized 4 teams of 2 to go out to the churches and to share medical information, but the gospel. He preached out of Luke 1, the story of John the Baptist. Jean Baptiste, that's his name. He is an amazing man with a heart to share the gospel. We want to do whatever we can to encourage him and others like him. So AIM is there. That's what we're doing in Bedlam. We're mobilizing other Christians to go out. And you're helping us do that, and we thank you for it.
So just a quick recap of some of the projects that you might know about. The top picture is the middle school high school, the Christian middle school high school in town. They were using really outdated old buildings that were falling apart. We had people that gave funds so that we could build a new classroom, a new building with 3 classrooms. We also had people help us with building 2 wells, one at this school and one at the hospital. A well is a wonderful gift. There are still people who are using open wells, which are dangerous. People fall in them and die, and the water isn't very good either. It can often be caused a lot of illnesses. So that's a way we can bless people. There's a picture there of a mother receiving school supplies, a simple thing, and yet it can be such a blessing. Kids go to school without pens, and they often get yelled at for it too, but they go because they don't have a pen. So if you can provide a pen, a notebook, it's a real blessing for that child. There's a picture there of a visiting preacher. We have that there because we had a team come out from the States, from Wisconsin, and we just would like to kind of throw out that that's a real encouragement in case anyone from this church would love to put a team together and come visit us. It really, really encourages us because we sometimes get quite weary and come back to that Bible verse, do not be weary of doing good, and having visitors really encourages us.
I don't know if you help out with Operation Christmas Child, Operation L'Enfant Noël. we're on the other end. So we're in Chad. They're receiving those shoe boxes. So we get asked, because we have one of the few cars in the village, we get asked all the time to help out. I was asked to help transport shoe boxes to an even smaller village. We're handing out shoe boxes. The kids on the bottom picture are grinning. I hope you can see their joy. I don't know if you help out with Operation Christmas Child, if you've packed a box or been to Boone, but anybody done that? Okay, good, great. This is the end result, and it does bring joy, and that joy will be shared with their whole family. That's just another thing that we get involved with. I wanted to encourage you if you do that. Please continue to pray for us. Your prayers are important. Go ahead to the next one. There is nothing small. This image I wanted to share with you just to close. There's nothing small you do for the Lord. And we're called to minister wherever we are. And even a small thing, Jesus talked about a cup of water in my name. So this really struck me one day. We were in the Capitol, which is 10 hours away. And whenever I'm there, I take advantage and I get hospital supplies. I went to the hospital and got transfusion supplies, boxes and boxes of transfusion bags and tubing. I needed to get it into the apartment, and the kids were sitting around the table playing cards. I said, "Hey, kids, come help me." And they all grabbed a box, and they were carrying these supplies to the apartment. And all of a sudden, the thought struck me, they just helped save a life. And I took a picture. I said, wait, let me take a picture. And I encouraged them. I said, you just helped save a life. And you may think it's a small thing, but I don't think it's a small thing. And in Bebelim, they're not going to think it's a small thing. And then, you know, God kind of grew that in me. He said, whatever you do, when you do it for the Lord, it's not a small thing. Which brings us back to Galatians 6:9. Do not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. There are no small things. Do it for the Lord, and we thank you for everything that you've done for us.